In many parts of the world, retirement is one's reward for successfully completing a career. It's a season for relaxing and looking back with fondness on a chosen vocation. But retirement from a profession should have no bearing on our usefulness in the final chapter of life. In fact, as we'll see in today's study, sometimes our greatest influence comes during the golden years. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes his study in Joshua 14 as we observe the remarkable achievements of Joshua and Caleb. Chuck titled today's message, The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude.
They have come to the place where different tribes get different parts of the land of Canaan. They've waited to get here, and now that they've arrived, the Lord is guiding Joshua as he parcels out different pieces of the land. This goes to one tribe, this goes to another tribe, and he gets to Judah, the tribe of Judah, and he meets Caleb, who is the head of the tribe. And he talks with Caleb about this responsibility, the opportunity to get the land, and Caleb's answer is set forth in verses 6 through 14, and that's what attracts our attention. He's looking back. At 85, he's reflecting back to when he was 40. And he reminds Joshua of what life was like then, and in light of that, what he wants to do now with the rest of his life. And he says to Joshua, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless," and now he refers to the 10 spies who brought back the negative report, "my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I follow the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'The land on which your foot has trodden surely shall be your inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.'" I want you to hold your place here. Just put your finger there and go back to Numbers chapter 13. Caleb was chosen. He's one of the tribes. Moses sent them out, verse 17, to spy out the land of Canaan. Remember that? Go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is like. And so they went. They stayed 40 days. And then verse 25, Numbers 13, 25, they returned. They returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. They proceeded to come to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation. Verse 26 concludes, "They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit from the land." Must have been a great moment. And they told them as they stood there with the fruit, "We went into the land," verse 27, "it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit." Now that is marvelous. That is a great moment if they had just stopped there. Or if they'd have said, "Caleb, what do you think we ought to do?" But they didn't. The next verse tells us that they were afraid. "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Verse 29, "Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites, the Amorites. They're all living in the hill country. The Canaanites are living by the sea." And I mean, we are just outnumbered. They're just too many. But Caleb, all by himself, quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." But verse 31 continues, "The men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us.'" Caleb is going, "Oh, brother, we know that. We knew that coming in. Obviously, they're too strong." So verse 32 says, "They gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report." Look at it. That's what it says. A bad report. And they said, we go into the land and they'll devour us. Next chapter. "And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the whole congregation Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? Retreat! That's the secret. Let's go back to Egypt. Isn't that a great thought? Let's go back to Egypt. Verse 4. So they said to one another, let's appoint another pastor. Oh, another leader. And let's return to Egypt. Let's go back. Let's go back. Finally, verse 6, Joshua gets the courage along with Caleb, and they tear their clothes and they speak to the people saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is a good land. Look at verse 8. Look at the focus. The Lord, if he's pleased with us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us. Verse 9, don't rebel. Verse 9, don't fear. End of verse 9, the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. Caleb says, back when I was 40 years old, those giants were so little. My God was so big. And by the way, look at verse 10. Now behold, the Lord has let me live these 45 more years. So 40 years of wandering, 1 year for every day they were spying out the land, while they bury all of the old guys and gals, and all the old generation dies off, and now the new generation comes in, and Caleb remembers back, and he says, you know, the Lord was right there with me the whole time. Some of you are behind the scenes, and let's face it, you're mature enough to be in front, but you're not. You're not for a reason. God knows the reason. He has you where he's got you, fully aware that you're capable of doing more. But it's all part of your preparation. It's all part of it. Prove yourself a faithful woman or man of God, just like Caleb, and follow him fully. Now it gets exciting. I love verses 10, 11, and 12. Here's an 85-year-old guy talking about the future. Now, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke, these 45 more years, from the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness. Now behold, I am 85 years old today. May have been his birthday. May have been the very day he turned 85. I'm still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war, for going out, for coming in. It's a colloquialism for fighting, for being involved in life, and for coming in to take counsel. It's the give and take of life. I'm just as alert as I was 45 years ago, and this is great. Now give me this hill country. Are you somewhere in that story? Or are you light years away? What are you doing with the rest of your life? What are you doing worried about age or when everybody else retires? The problem with some of us who are aging is not that we're growing old, it's that we haven't grown up. We haven't faced the truth about how God still wants to use our lives. We bought into the lie regarding the blandness of retirement. You can retire, that's fine. Just don't stop living. Just don't check it to us. Don't talk about having paid your dues. Where is that in the Bible? I cannot find I paid my dues anywhere in this book. You haven't got any dues to pay. You're living by the grace of God. I mean, these are your most effective years. Now that you've got the time to invest them in mentoring and encouraging and dreaming fresh dreams and living like a Caleb who comes to these later years in his life, give me the mountain where the giants are. We haven't driven them out yet. We've been at it long enough. Let me have the giants. And Joshua goes, "Whoo, you can have it, man. It's all yours." That's exactly what he does. He blessed him. Don't you love it? Go ahead. God bless you, Caleb. You take on those giants. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. I'm as strong now as I was then. I'm ready to live through life like I never lived before. I love J. Oswald Sanders' statement. In youth, he stood alone. In middle age, he walked alone. At 85, he climbed alone. What are you waiting for? You may be the one who will do the climbing and then the others will follow. Don't expect a partner to come up with the same dream. It's your dream. Joshua never climbed with Caleb. Perhaps his family did. Perhaps those he had mentored in the last 45 years were a part of the team. He's older than any of them. Age had nothing to do with it. He said, I shall drive them out. Yeah, I mean, what enthusiasm, what determination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. I get letters from churches as I'm serving the seminary these days, and they want a possible pastor. But they say, please, send us one that'll keep us awake. What they're saying is, send us one that has the training but the enthusiasm. The person who can come, regardless of age, they don't mention age. Not concerned about his age. Give us someone who will believe in us and believe in God and go together with us. Age isn't important. It's the enthusiasm. It's the one who doesn't believe in impossibilities. Came across this piece. According to the theory of aerodynamics, as may be readily demonstrated through wind tunnel experiments, the bumblebee cannot fly. It is unable to do so. This is because the size, weight, and shape of its body in relation to the total wing spread make flying impossible for the bumblebee. But the bumblebee does not know that. And being ignorant of these scientific facts, it goes ahead and flies anyway and makes a little honey every day. Isn't that great? Who told you can't fly? Who told you your best years are past? Who told you have to be this miserable just to make it through life, which has become such a burden? Really, it's the burden you're giving us more than you're living with. Oh, did I fail to mention something important? I did. Three things, or three times it says the same thing. Verse 8 concludes, I followed the Lord my God fully. Verse 9, he followed the Lord my God fully. Verse 14 concludes, you followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Get that. This isn't just grab your bootstraps and jerk on them now that you're underway at this age in life. This isn't about what you do. This is following the Lord. This is thinking the Lord's thoughts after him. This is doing the kind of thing the Lord's planned for you to do. He's not out on some lark trying to prove he's 25 again. Everybody knows he's not 25. Those old knobby knees and that old wrinkled face, they can tell he's 85. Nobody's worried about that. What they're concerned about is his attitude, which is superb. Superb. I'm going to leave three thoughts with you. And every one of us needs the three thoughts. Every one of us. First thought, forget your age. Promise yourself and promise me right now you'll never mention your age again. First, nobody cares. Once again, we don't care. So you have my permission to keep the candles off the cake. You have to redo the smoke alarm for some of us if you have to put candles on the cake. So don't do any candles anymore. Don't talk about how old you are. Forget your age. Age is not important. Ted Williams at age 42 slammed a home run in his last official time at bat. Mickey Mantle at age 20 hit 23 home runs his first full year in the major leagues. Golda Meir was 71 when she became Prime Minister of Israel. William Pitt II was 24 when he became Prime Minister of Great Britain. Mozart was just 7 when his first composition was published. How about Benjamin Franklin? He was a newspaper columnist at 16, a framer of the United States Constitution when he was 81. You're never too young. You're never too old if you got talent. Nobody cares what your age is. Forget it. By the way, that crawls against our culture, because the entertainment industry is all hung up on if you're past 35. Duh, the best stuff I ever saw was done by people past 35. Now you can't get a job there. Then go somewhere else. Hang it on their beak. They don't want you. You don't want them. Don't give up. Age means nothing. Why am I yelling? Number two, focus on your goals. Focus on your goals. What is your particular hill country? What is your mountain? Go there. I can't give it to you. Nobody gave me my mountain. God did. And nobody can give you a mountain. They can't write in a note and say, "Dear Frank, here is your mountain." Because they'll be wrong. C.H. Nash, who founded the Melbourne Bible Institute, trained 1,000 young men and women for Christian service. He retired from the principalship at age 70. At age 80, he received assurance from the Lord that further ministry lay ahead. During the years that were before him, he taught small Bible study groups, some of the most fruitful years of his life, he later said. When he was 90 years old, one man testified he found him finishing the sixth volume of Arnold Toynbee's Monumental History as a mental exercise just to stay alert, as he put it. Mr. Benjamin Ryrie, retired missionary of the China Inland Mission, at age 80 decided to learn New Testament Greek, soon became proficient in reading the Greek New Testament, and at age 90 attended a refresher course in New Testament Greek at Toronto Theological Seminary. When he was 100, he was present at a meeting where there were great statesmen who were speaking, and one who knew him discovered Mr. Ryrie had in his pocket a Greek pocket lexicon, which he used in his travels, in his words, to stay up on the language. What new thing have you started now that you've turned this age? What new beginning? Don't answer, "I'm trying to take it easy." Take it what? Is this an era to take it easy? Easy for what? Some selfish desire? Forgive me, there's a lot of conceit in that. You hang and don't disturb on your doorknob? You're hanging, "Quiet, please, I'm trying to nap." For all you know, the very best events of your life are just ahead of you if you could just get an attitude of fortitude and get out of your own self. 17th century prayer, "Lord, thou knowest better than I know myself that I am growing older and will be someday very old. Keep me from the fatal habit of thinking I must say something on every subject, on every occasion. Release me from craving to straighten out everybody's affairs. Make me thoughtful but not moody, helpful but not bossy. With my vast store of wisdom, it seems such a pity not to use it all. But thou knowest, Lord, that I want a few friends at the end of my life. Keep my mind free from the recital of endless details. Give me wings to get to the point. Seal my lips on the aches and pains of my life. They are increasing, and my love of rehearsing them is becoming sweeter as the years go by. I dare not ask for grace enough to enjoy the tales of others' pains, but help me to endure them with patience. Keep me reasonably sweet. I do not want to be a saint. Some of them are so hard to live with. But a sour old person is one of the crowning works of the devil. Give me the ability to see good things in unexpected places and talents in unexpected people. And, oh, Lord, give me the grace to tell them so." Forget your age. Focus on your goal. Follow your Lord fully. Follow him fully. Wherever he may lead you, however he may use you, however amount of money he may entrust to you, and I hope it's multiple billions. It's not a concern what you make. A concern to the Lord is what you give. So I hope you make gobs and give most of it to Stonebriar Community Church. Or Insight for Living, that's a nice second if you'd like to give there. But follow him fully. Don't let anything in your older years cause you to sort of strike out on your own. After all, look how wise you become. He can cut you right out, just cut it right out from under you at any moment. Our goal, of course, is the Lord Jesus, who only had 33 years. And he said when he finished him, "I've done what you sent me to do. It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. I'd like us to bow our heads and I'd like us to close our eyes. Let's be lost in our own thoughts for a few moments, okay? Just quietly sit there and mull over something that stands out in your mind. So many of these things, these illustrations, whether it's Thoreau or Roosevelt or MacArthur or the writer of some piece of verse, it doesn't matter. These things have your name written all over them. This is about life, your life, which is not to be lived unto yourself. It's to be lived for others, for the glory of God. And you know, you may be sitting there with your eyes closed thinking, you know what, I just can't get unstuck. Well, it just might be that you've never even come into a kind of relationship with God that's possible. You've been religious and you've gone to church and you've been a good American and you've, you know, fulfilled your responsibilities along those lines, but you've never really trusted Jesus Christ. That is crucial for the whole equation. Crucial. Love for you to do that right now. I'd love for you to just acknowledge that the most important, the wisest decision you could make at this point in your life is to turn the controls over to him. Let him take your life and all of the stuff that's wrapped up in your guilt and fear and self-pity and all those things that you've been hiding behind, and let him pay the price right now. Let him make it clear to you he's paid the price for your sins. And you receive him personally. If you've never met him, this is a wonderful day to do so. He is available, you know. His son died for you on the cross. And he would love to be a part of the rest of your life. But I've never known him to barge in uninvited. You and he need to talk this over. If you need someone to talk about that with, we've got a group of people there to talk with you and to pray with you. Now, Lord, do a work deep within our hearts. Help us to come to terms with attitudes that have been anchors. Forgive us for the sour responses that we have been participating in and encouraging in others. Give us eyes of faith to see beyond the facts and figures. Open us to a whole world of possibilities because you are the God of the impossible. Encourage us, Father, with thoughts that would send us into a future that could be altogether different from our past. And may we become, for at least one other person, contagious. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of our time of worship. Be honored now and go with us in a special way as we depart from this place or move to our fellowship one with another. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask this. Everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and a message titled, The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude. This message was originally delivered to the congregation where Chuck Swindoll is senior pastor. And if you'd like to listen to any portion again, you can find it online at insightworld.org. We knew you'd appreciate hearing this presentation. Knowing Chuck's leadership as a shepherd and Bible teacher, has become a model for countless leaders across North America and the world. Maybe you've been curious to learn what it's like to attend a church where Chuck is the senior pastor. Well, in collaboration with Stonebriar Community Church, Insight for Living is pleased to extend an invitation for you to participate in the live worship service every Sunday morning by streaming the video online. Thousands have begun to take advantage of this new opportunity, and you'll find all the instructions at insight.org/Sundays. And then let me remind you that your primary loyalty through your attendance and financial generosity belongs to your local church family. Please don't allow this program or the Sunday morning video stream to serve as a substitute for your engagement with your church. But then as God leads you to give above and beyond, we invite your contributions to this nonprofit ministry. Your gift to Insight for Living has a multiplying impact on the church as parishioners and pastors look to this program as a guiding source of truth and grace. You can give today simply by going online to insight.org/donate. There's a simpler way to give on a regular basis without going through the routine of writing a letter. Many have chosen to automate their giving by joining our family of monthly companions. In this relationship, you agree to come alongside Chuck with a contribution every month. You set the level tailored to your capacity and desire. Just follow the simple instructions at insight.org/monthly companion. If it's easier to pick up the phone, here's the number to call. If you're listening in the United States, give by calling 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll describes what he calls grace and truth worth remembering. Tomorrow on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Secret, An Attitude of Fortitude, was copyrighted in 2001, 2002, and 2018. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2018 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.